Who is Jesus? Kathleen Crane is Director of Christian Education at First Presbyterian Church in Canterbury, New Jersey. And she tells of an incident many years ago that took place while she was going to see her oldest son play football in Wisconsin. And on her way back, she was seated next to two Sikhs from India, of the Indian, Northern Indian faith. And she listened to them, and they talked, they had a great conversation. But she said, "I didn't feel compelled to force my own beliefs on these gentlemen." She helped the older man with his dinner tray and told them about a friend. But then she tells a story about a friend that she and her husband has from India. She said, "My husband and I have been invited to share an Indian meal with the Bishop of South India when he visited the Princeton campus, where she also was a part of." Says the bishop had lost his wife in a tragic accident and he was very lonely. And the visit seemed to fill the void temporarily. And tears welled up in the old man's eyes as she told this story to him there on the plane. She began to hear. He began to hear what was being said. And after a brief nap on that plane that day, that gentleman who was sitting beside her, he said, as they neared the Newark, New Jersey airport, he turned to her and he said, "Tell me about this Jesus that you speak about. Tell me about this Jesus. Think about it. You've got 20 minutes before you land. You're sitting in an airplane beside some stranger that you've never met before and might not ever see again. What would you have said? Who is Jesus?" In verse 27 today, Jesus asked this question, "Who do people say that I am?" You see, Jesus' time on earth was growing short. It was crucial for his disciples to finally recognize him for who he was. They had been with him now for long periods of time. They had observed his ministry, how he had performed miracles of healing, how he taught as no one before him had taught, how his enemies sought to silence him, how he was raised from the dead, or how he raised the dead. He's going to be raised from the dead pretty soon, but how he healed people along the way, and it just amazed them. He raised folks from the dead. How he constantly expressed love to those around him. Had it finally broken through to them there who he really was when he asked them, who do people say that I am? He begins with a more general question. He says, "Who do men say that I am? Who do the general public, who do the people out here say that I am?" And their reply was an honest one. And they said to him, "Some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. And still many others claim that you're just one of the prophets." Isn't it interesting that no matter what Jesus did, the general public could not move beyond their preconceived ideas of who and what the Messiah would be? They thought they knew. Years of history had burned an image in their mind of the coming of the Messiah, who this person was, and they just couldn't move beyond that image. But let's be honest with ourselves today and them. They thought they were putting Jesus on the highest level when they compared him to John the Baptist and Elijah, because they were folks that had gone before. They had not heard the voice of the prophet for several hundred years. So finally, a prophet of God has graced their midst. You know, if the lady we spoke of here in the beginning, if Kathleen Crane had answered that gentleman that day with, "Well, the people say he is," what would she have said? She may have replied like many of you have heard people reply in the past. If you've ever asked scholars or people around you, "Who is Jesus?" Many think that he's one of the greatest teachers that ever lived. They like his philosophy about life, and they regard his ethical teaching as being unparalleled in history. They are most willing to base their society on his teachings, but simply cannot see him as the Son of God. She may have replied also, "Some see him as a great prophet, a mystic." Like Jesus' contemporaries of the first century, they equate him with Isaiah, Elijah, and even Muhammad. He spoke to the people for God and did a magnificent job of it. One should listen and ponder his words of wisdom. She may have even replied to him, "Some see him as the candy man." Their prayers reflect this as they constantly ask him for favors. How many of you have ever been there? "Okay, God, if you just do this one thing, I promise. Promise. If you just hurry up and answer this for me, I'll do this. Lord, give me this. Do this for me. I need you to fix this for me. I need you to fix my problem." In many ways, he is equivalent to many people as like a Santa Claus. She may have replied that day, "Some say that he was a revolutionary. He was a liberator of the poor, the social outcasts, women, and the powerless. He pointed the way to a new social order." She could have even said, "Let me give you a conceptual theological response. We really need to define the terms, and then I can give you a logical answer." See, today in this world we live in, people say the most strangest things about who is Jesus. But the second thing today in verse 29, he says, "But who do you say that I am?" You see, Jesus was not satisfied with the answer to his general question. Human categories could not capture his true essence. So he became more specific. "But who do you say that I am?" After all, it was crucial that his disciples recognize him for who he was. I think what followers was the highlight of Peter's life. Because with boldness, Peter replies, "You're the Christ." You almost feel a sigh of relief in Jesus as he praises Peter's, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 16:17, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." He says, "You got it right. Wow, Peter, you did it." Before the resurrection, before Peter's post-crucifixion appearances, before the ascension that's going to happen, Peter recognized Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah, the come thou long-expected Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. He finally understood what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me." The Spirit of God has moved upon Peter and revealed the Anointed One to him that day. This has to be the classic moment in the history of Christianity. But then, guess what? Peter's one of them people that doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. He can't stop right there. But then, here comes this strange response of Christ. And he charged them to tell no one about him. Verse 30. Why? Peter had just proclaimed Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. Shouldn't they be shouting it from the rooftops, from the housetops, from the highest mountain? The next sentence gives the answer. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer. He said, "I want you to know who I am. I want you to know what's going on, but then I need to tell you about what's going to happen. And before you speak, you still have much to learn. Before you open your mouth, you have much to learn." He was going to be the suffering Messiah. He was going to die upon a cruel cross. This was what they expected. They needed to wait and learn. You see, even today, much harm is done by zealous disciples who love Jesus and rush out to share their faith before they learn about who He really is. In their zeal, they often contradict what He is about. Jesus wisely told Peter to be quiet until he learned what sort of Messiah he served. The third thing today, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Today, this is a 21st century question. The personal question transcends the centuries, and it confronts each and every one of us today. And like Peter, each and every one of us must answer for ourselves, not for a group, but for ourselves. The only correct answer is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Such a confession is a turning point in our lives. It is the moment of salvation when we commit our lives to Him. But whoa, that is not quite enough. Jesus doesn't stop there. Hear His next words to Peter and the other disciples. And He called to Him the multitude with His disciples, and He said to them, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This commitment, this pronunciation, this announcement of Jesus as the Christ, this new way of life is a privilege with responsibilities. That's the part we don't like. We like the privilege, we like the gift, but we don't like the responsibility. We are to follow in Jesus' footsteps, and that won't always be easy. That's not always an easy task. We have to take up our cross each and every day. The commitment must be real, and the determination must be without reservation. Beware of the choices that you make, for your soul is weighing in the balance. Who is Jesus? Be careful. Don't answer too quickly. Your response just may be the most important affirmation of your life. The contemporary world has many answers. What is yours? And where will you find the answer in this world that we live in today? Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. Surely, he had the advantage of knowing Him face to face. He sat with Him, he walked with Him, he talked with Him. How can we come to know Him? Of course, one can meet Jesus in the pages of the Bible. One can meet Him in the pages of the Bible. This is God's Word to all who will read it. But let's face it, not all read or even want to read the Bible. Where will they meet Jesus? With little hesitation, I would proclaim the church, the people. The people, you are the church. You're the ones who walk and talk. You're the ones that people meet along your way. The church is the extension of the incarnation of Christ. The church is the contemporary body of Christ. The church represents Christ in the world. Oh, wow. Now that's a responsibility. That is a responsibility. Is this what Jesus meant when He said, take up your cross and follow me? Take up your cross and follow me. Just how well do we portray Christ to the world that we live in? What are we doing? Are we telling Him? Are we listening? Are we witnessing? Maybe a crucial question for the 21st century is this. Who does the church say that Jesus Christ is? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this day, for who You are in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for loving us and blessing us. We thank You, Lord, that we can answer that question. Who is Jesus? That You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one that we call upon. You are the one we call to. You are the one we pray to. The one that we ask. You're the one that we thank. You're the one that is there to bring us comfort, to lead us, to guide us in all that we do. So, Lord, this day and this week that is upon us, allow us to be that voice. Allow us to get to know You closer, deeper. Allow us to get to know who You are in Your Word. Allow us to look to You for the answers. Allow us sometimes to look to You for the questions. So, Lord, this day, remind us of that. Remind us of that gift that comes by knowing You. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 528. Near My God to Thee.